The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 3, text number 5. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on September 16th, 2017, in Tallinn, Estonia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
3.5 Bhagavad Gita. Nahi kishchit chanam api. Jatadishchat-yakarma-krit Karyate yavashakarma Sarva-prakriti-jair-gunai. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired in the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Purport. It is not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. The body is only a dead vehicle to be worked at by the spirit soul, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by the illusory energy. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes, and to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the shastras. But if the soul is engaged in his natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. The Srimad Bhagavatam affirms this, 1.5.17. Svakchasvadharman charanam bhujam harer bhajannapakto tatpatet yato yadi yattaka vibhadram abhumushyakim kavarteyapo bhajatam svadharmataha. If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the prescribed duties in the shastras or execute the devotional service properly, and even though he may fall down from the standard, there is no loss or evil for him. But if he carries out all the injunctions for purification in the shastras, what does it avail him if he is not Krishna conscious? So the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sannyas or any purificatory process is to help one reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious, without which everything is considered a failure. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. This completely defeats the Mayavadi activity, the Mayavadi philosophy, that you just have to become completely non-active. They think they can stop their karmic reactions by not doing anything. But every breath they're killing so many microbial germs. So sometimes they even stop their breathing also. But still they're sitting somewhere. So, and they're hurting the living entities they're sitting on. So you cannot remain a non-doer in this world is not possible. Krishna confirms the soul by nature is always active. Actually, the soul has unlimited energy. So, since we're going to act in a certain way, we're always going to be thinking in a certain way and speaking in a certain way. We cannot stop thinking, speaking, and acting. We should learn to think, speak, and act in a way that will liberate us from all miseries. This is, after all, intelligence. Why would you want to create misery for yourself? Would that be very intelligent? To act in such a way to make yourself miserable? But that's what the whole material society is doing right now. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, knowingly I am drinking poison. So they may not know, but they are drinking poison. They may not know, but they are drinking poison. I was surprised when we came to Mangalarti. We were coming at 4 a.m. this morning from over to the temple, coming through downtown Tallinn at 4 a.m. There were hundreds and hundreds of people who had been up all night drinking liquor and partying. They were still up at 4 a.m. So they think party all night and then and it's time the sun and then Brahma Maharaja, now it's time to go to sleep. You can see how the nature is to be very active. They're going here, going there, smoking this, smoking that, drinking this, drinking that. Standing around talking. But it's all shama evi kevalam, simply a waste of time. Because their thinking, speaking, and acting is binding them tighter and tighter in the modes of material nature. Instead of acting for their ultimate benefit, they're acting for their ultimate detriment. So we were also coming from that group. Acting very foolishly for our own detriment. The beauty of this process is that doesn't matter how fallen you were, if you take to this process, you become a liberated soul. I was looking out today over the Gulf of Finland. I was looking at over from our balcony and where we were staying. I was looking over, looking at the Gulf of Finland out the window. I could see the ships sailing and getting ready to cruise over the Gulf of Finland. So we'll be doing the same thing on Monday. We'll be going to Helsinki on the boat. So I was thinking about that very nice verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. I can remember it nicely. Samashrataye padlapallava pladam padam pladam padam. Let's see. Samashrataye padlapallava pladam mahatpadam punya jashomare re bhavambadir vatsa parang padam 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 from one who has taken shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation? Who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation? And the annihilator of the Mura demon, the killer of the Mura demon. This vast, insurmountable ocean of material existence. Becomes reduced down to the amount of water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. So those persons' aim is the Vaikuntha realm, the spiritual sky. People who take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, they're going to the spiritual sky. Not that place where there is danger at every step. This is a very dangerous place. To lock our doors, you see. Somebody knocks our door in the middle of the night, we don't open the door, we look through the hole, see if it's a thief. A very dangerous place, you see. Spiritual world, there's no danger. Nobody, there's no airport security, there's no locks, there's no danger in the spiritual sky. Now you can't get on an airplane unless they put you through an x-ray machine. There's so much fear in this world, you see. So much danger. You never know, some terrorist may come, some murderer may come, some thief may come. Some rapist may come. You see. It's a horrible place, this material world. No place for a gentleman's living. But who takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, it's an amazing thing, you see. It's like we're going to get on the boat on Monday, the Taldink, whatever, and it takes us about 2 hours to cross over the Gulf of India. But this boat of Krishna is so amazing. The Taldink line can't compare it with Krishna's boat. Because even though it's a huge, it's like millions and billions of miles ocean to cross, you see. Right now we're in the ocean of birth and death. It's a huge ocean. But you take shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, that huge ocean becomes as much as you can fit in the palm of your hand. So just imagine the boat is sitting there, right? And the ocean is unlimited. But as soon as you get on the boat, the ocean shrinks. So the boat is much bigger than the ocean, you see. So that means as soon as you get on the boat, you're already liberated. The boat doesn't have to cruise anymore, you see. You get on the boat, as soon as you're on the boat, you've already reached the destination. This is the amazing thing about devotional service to Krishna. If you take it up purely, you're already a liberated soul. Instantly. The goal is to become a pure devotee. And if you purely take up the process, you're already liberated from the very beginning. One day on a morning walk in Golden Gate Park, the devotee said, "Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there in the world?" Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? Of course, that means you have to be strictly following. Not that I have my neck beans and I'm smoking marijuana. Yes. But those who are strictly following this process, sincerely and purely following this, they're already liberated souls. They're already acting beyond the modes of material nature. So if we're not doing it yet, we should come to the platform of purely following this process. Why should we cheat ourselves? Because when you don't follow it, then you have a vast, insurmountable ocean you have to cross. But when you strictly follow it, the ocean shrinks to insignificance. So how many obstacles would you like in your pathway of bhakti? How many obstacles would you like? Would you like to have unlimited obstacles? Would you prefer to have no obstacles? If you sincerely take up this process, there's no more obstacles. As we were explaining this morning, or last night, Kunti was begging for more obstacles. Kunti was begging for more obstacles. She didn't find them to be obstacles. She found them to be blessings. So as soon as one takes up that mood of pure bhakti, there's no such thing as an obstacle anymore. Everything that happens to you in all times, places, and circumstances, you will experience as the blessings of Krishna upon you. And I can assure you there's no sweeter, more joyful consciousness to be in than that. So we should cultivate that mood. Have total, complete faith in Krishna. Prabhupada told us in Vrindavan, just before he left this world, a few days, in the last days in Vrindavan, he was dying in his... He lay there dying in his quarters. He was dying. But he was still translating Bhagavatam. He said, everything is acting and moving under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. So if you actually want to be Krishna conscious, then you have to train yourself how to see that everything is happening by the arrangement of Krishna. For your benefit, to help you come back to him as soon as possible. This vision will liberate you from all anxiety. You will feel Krishna's mercy showering upon you at every minute. It's just a matter of proper feeling. It's two things you have for that vision. Two things are required. You have to have faith in Krishna, and you have to have strong philosophical understanding. So that faith is developed by loving relationships with devotees. Loving relationship with Guru, loving and by feelingly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and the understanding comes by carefully hearing and reading these teachings. By doing this, you will have an amazing awakening within your heart.
Вы
you will learn how to conquer over all anxieties. You'll have an anxiety-free life. So, but let's get off the neophyte platform. Let us get off of the neophyte platform and come to the advanced Vaishnava platform. We are not meant to remain as neophytes. Prabhupada wants us to become fixed up Vaishnavas. Solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So how do you get there? It's like I see we have some new people tonight. How does one get to that level? Being a solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. Number one, you have to have strong faith in the process. Number two, proper relationships with devotees. We have to learn how to have loving reciprocal relationships with Vaishnavas. The third step is you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. You accept the vow of initiation, diksha. And you faithfully keep your initiation vows. And then by engaging in the process of devotional service according to the instructions you receive from your spiritual master and the devotees, by faithfully following the process and the guru and devotees' instructions, you have a cleansing of the dirt within the heart. In other words, in all these millions of lifetimes we've had in this material world, we've accumulated so much dirt in the heart from so many sinful activities. Actually, our hearts are very, very filthy. Extremely dirty hearts we have. But by this process of chanting Hare Krishna, following regulated principles, serving Guru and Krishna and Vaishnava, gradually this dirt in the heart is cleansed away. And we come to that pure state of unlimited bliss. So I can ask now if there's any questions. I don't follow.
She's participating in ecological pollution of the planet.
Yeah, everybody's doing that. Is it by driving a car? Riding in a car, you're part of the pollution. So Prabhupada also rode in a car. He rode on the jet airplane too. Those things are not that important.
What about plastic dishes?
About what?
Plastic dishes, bags.
One should be as ecologically conscious as possible, but whatever is practical. Don't be fanatical. The thing is that the air and water pollution is nothing compared to the consciousness pollution of this planet. By chanting Hare Krishna, you're doing more to clean up the environment than the environmentalists are doing. Yeah, we try to avoid these things as much as we can. You can buy, you know, plates that are biodegradable plates you can throw. Instead of buying plastic plates you can throw, but you can get biodegradable plates too. You can do them. When it's practical, do that. It's good. Some temples do that too. They have, instead of serving out plastic plates at the feast, they serve out biodegradable plates. But it's more expensive also. Sometimes someone will donate it to the temple. You see. So the more if we can do that, it's good. It's like when I first went to India, we were eating on leaf plates and clay cups. You throw them away and they're completely biodegradable. Whether you eat on a plastic plate or a, you know, a leaf plate, the most important thing is you chant Hare Krishna. That's the real purification of the atmosphere, Krishna consciousness. Even if we have to fly in an airplane and burn up so much fuel into the atmosphere, you know. Any other questions? There's a comment here. Oh, she has the mic, Devi, so. Oh, give it. Let her do it? Okay. Go ahead. Yes, that's right. If you actually love Krishna, you'll be able to make a very nice painting of Krishna. Or you can follow in the footsteps of those who are expert. It's like one of our first artists. She, in the beginning, she was not very good. But gradually, she became very expert. So in the beginning, when someone is doing painting of Krishna, they might not be very good. But the more they practice, they become more expert. But the one should know how to do the proper mood also. Radha and Krishna should not be like a lusty boy and girl. You know, like drooling over each other or something like that. It shouldn't be very lusty like that. If you see the paintings, the paintings that Prabhupada, like look, the original artwork that Prabhupada authorized, that is the standard. Some of our artists now they're deviating a little bit. They're making Krishna, Radha and Krishna like a lusty born and girl. It's not very good. Next. Yes. Material attachments. We're more attached to material sense gratification than we are to Krishna. That's the problem. Our nature is to be attached, but our attachment is going to matter instead of to spirit. That's the problem. So we have to transfer the tendency to be attached to spirit away from matter. That's the point. And to find that way to take our tendencies, our material tendencies, and spiritualize them. As Prabhupada said, whatever you like to do, do it for Krishna. If you like to travel, instead of going to Las Vegas, you go to Vrindavan. If you like to sing, instead of singing, I want to hold your hand, you sing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. If you like to eat, don't eat McDonald's hamburgers, eat prasadam. If you like to dance, don't go to the discotheque, go to the temple and dance. Whatever you like to do, do it for Krishna. And gradually, you wanting to do a particular thing will not be so important anymore. So in the beginning, it's let me do what I like to do, but offer to Krishna. But in the end, I can do anything and enjoy it. It doesn't matter what it is. As long, whatever, I just want to please Krishna. You see, in the end, you come to the to pure bhakti. I just want to please Krishna. I can do anything. Even if it's something that I hated before, now I can do it and love it because it's for Krishna's pleasure. For example, previously I hated washing dishes. But now, when a woman is advanced in Krishna consciousness, he can relish washing dishes as much as eating a gulab jamun. So we have to learn how to take our satisfaction from not ours, what's pleasing to us, but what is pleasing to Krishna. Whatever Krishna does is all right. I mean, I think it's good. But if Krishna arranges it, then it's very good. Like there's a story in that connection. Have you heard that story? Maybe not. So I'll tell you that story. There was a king in the Vedic times, and he had a prime minister who was Krishna conscious. Prime minister always said, whatever Krishna does is all right. Prime minister was always seeing how Krishna was arranging everything perfectly. So one day the king accidentally cut off his finger. The prime minister said, don't worry, your majesty, whatever Krishna does is all right. The king became very angry. I lost my finger and you're saying it's all right? In the dungeon with you, you rascal. So the Vedic kings, they were expert in the killing art. That was their duty. They would fight and they would not send the soldiers to the battlefield and sit in the palace. They would lead the battle. That is actual king. He's out there leading the battle. So the kings had to be very expert in the art of killing, you see. So they would practice, they would, on times of peace, they would go to the forest where the wild animals are harassing the sages, and they would kill the wild animals as a practice for killing. Like tigers. So the king, he went to the forest on a hunting expedition. The king went to the forest on a hunting expedition. And he was captured by some dacoits who were devotees of goddess Kali. They were going to offer him as a human sacrifice to goddess Kali.
Mm-hmm.
So things didn't look very good for the king. But just before they were getting ready to offer him to goddess Kali and kill him, you see. They noticed he was missing a finger. And they realized he wasn't a proper offering, he's missing a finger. Goddess Kali will not be very pleased. She'll be angry at them. So they let him go. And he's coming back to the palace, remembering what the prime minister said. He's thinking, yeah, he was right. So he goes down to the dungeon where he put the prime minister in the prison, in the cell, you know. He put him, go down to let him out. And he was so happy. He said, the prime minister, you were so right. What Krishna does is all right. I lost my finger, but it saved my life. So the prime minister is sitting there, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. He wasn't disturbed at all. I can chant in my house, I can chant in the prison, what's the difference? I just chant. He wasn't disturbed at all. He was completely mellow, wasn't disturbed at all. The king said, you're not angry at me? The prime minister said, Your Majesty, I always go with you on those hunting trips. Your Majesty, I always go with you on those hunting trips. And I have all my fingers. Whatever Krishna does, it's all right. So in this way, we have to see that Krishna is perfectly arranging for all of us. It may appear to be misfortune sometimes, but actually everything is our good fortune. From one who has transcendental vision. So just try to develop that transcendental vision. By hearing from Guru, by serving Guru and Vaishnavas, by studying the scriptures, by chanting Hare Krishna, you will purify your vision so you can see the loving hand of Krishna at every minute. Are there any other questions? Yes. You have to do whatever is favorable for your Krishna consciousness. You have to do whatever is favorable for your Krishna consciousness. That you have to see. If you're in a situation that is not favorable for your Krishna consciousness, that's Krishna's mercy to show you this material world is not your home. Let's say you're in the association of people who are constantly blaspheming Krishna. You have to give up that association. You see? This is the first teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Asatsanga tyag. Give up the association of non-devotees. Non-devotee association is very inauspicious. It bleeds you of your Krishna. It takes away your Krishna consciousness. So one should avoid it as much as possible. and associate with devotees instead.
Even if devotees.
Whatever you can do, you should do as much as you can do. So it's not that we just remain dumb. We have to always see that I'm in the best situation of my Krishna consciousness. We accept and we reject on the basis of this principle. If something is favorable for my Krishna consciousness, I accept it. Something is unfavorable, I reject it. What if there's something I like? I really like it, but it's not favorable for my Krishna consciousness. Then I have to give it up, even though I like it. What if there's something I hate, but it's favorable for my Krishna consciousness? Then I have to accept it. So you don't accept and reject on what you like and what you don't like. You accept and you reject based on what is favorable for your Krishna consciousness. And then you become very solidly fixed up in bhakti. Material nature will not be able to pinch you anymore. Next. What is required to surrender immediately? Determination. Had to be determined. Determination makes you very powerful. In this connection, there's another story that Prabhupada tells in the Bhagavad Gita purport. The little sparrow. The ocean had stolen the eggs of the little sparrow. And the little sparrow was very disturbed, her egg was stolen by the ocean. She asked the ocean to return the eggs, and the ocean refused to return the eggs. So, that little sparrow, even though it seemed impossible, she was determined, I will dry up that ocean and get back my eggs. So she would go to the ocean, she would take some drops of ocean water in her beak, and she would go to the dry land and deposit those drops and then go back for some more. And this way she was going back and forth to dry up the ocean. Everybody was laughing at the foolish little bird, you see. She thinks she's going to dry up the ocean. That's stupid little bird. She's going to run herself to death. She'll never dry up the ocean. This way they're making fun of her and laughing at her, you know. She didn't care. She kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But you know, there is one bird. It was the king of the birds. His name is Garuda. And the little sparrow is his little sister. So Garuda saw how they're making fun and torturing his little sister. He was not very happy. In fact, he was quite angry. So Garuda came swooping in on Garuda Airlines. You've heard of Garuda Airlines? He came in on Garuda Airlines. It's Garuda did. He came flying in, and he has all mystic powers, you see. He told that ocean, you give those eggs back right now, or I will dry you up by my mystic power. So the ocean immediately returned the eggs. So in this connection it is stated, God helps those who help themselves. If you make that endeavor to become a pure devotee with every might of your determination, even though you've been a contaminated rascal for millions of lifetimes, it seems impossible to become a pure devotee, doesn't it? Because we're so contaminated. Can you imagine waking up in your original rasa in Krishna's pastimes? Can you imagine waking up and finding yourself in your original rasa in Krishna's lila? Here we are, we're still lusty, we're still angry, we're still greedy. How can we possibly wake up to pure bhakti? It seems impossible, doesn't it? Just like it seems impossible, a little sparrow can dry up the ocean. But when you show Guru and Krishna your determination, they will act, they will come on your behalf. And they will arrange that you can become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's called mercy. And there's sadhana siddha. One becomes perfect by executing sadhana. But there's kripa siddha. One becomes perfect by mercy. So we just sit around and crack jokes and pop glove jamans and wait for kripa siddha? Or should we sincerely execute sadhana bhakti to the best of our ability, always expecting the causeless mercy of Krishna to be bestowed upon us? Always execute sadhana, always expecting causeless mercy to be bestowed upon us. So if we do that, then that's when the magic happens. Faithfully follow the orders of your spiritual master. Always understanding by doing so, that causeless mercy will come to me by the grace of Guru and Krishna. So that's the secret. You have to follow, take that little sparrow as your siksha guru. You have to be determined like that little sparrow. That I will dry up this ocean of my material desires and I will become a pure devotee. It seems impossible, but when you have that determination, then Guru and Krishna will give you their causeless mercy, and it'll happen by their mercy. That's how the process works. Yeah? Now in the back.
Чтобы развить любовь к Богу.
Cosmos Mercy.
Yeah.
Can you please bless me that I would get in this life love of Godhead and would not fail anymore?
Are you willing to commit yourself? Are you chanting 16 rounds regularly? Are you initiated? So, my blessing is you should be fully surrendered to your spiritual master. That's it. May your every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances being totally pleasing to your spiritual master. Now you have to do it. I've told you how to do it. Now you have to do that. If you follow my instruction, you'll become the perfect disciple of your spiritual master. And you will become qualified to see Krishna face to face. Next.
Can you explain how to reach this mentality like Mukunda?
How to mentality like?
Like Mukunda.
Mukunda, Krishna.
Mukunda Dutt.
Mukunda Dutt.
Yeah. Lord Chaitanya tell to him, I don't. You don't see me millions of lifetimes. You know this story. Yeah?
Yeah, you will not see me for a million births.
Yeah, yeah.
And he meant, but he will see me after a million births.
Yeah, and he was ecstatic. Yeah. How to develop this mindset? What we should do?
Meditate on that lila, that's all. If you meditate on that lila, then you keep remembering that lila, you'll develop the same mindset naturally. Lila smaranam. Next. Yes, sir.
Translation.
No, it's his turn.
Translation.
Huh? Translation. But it's his turn. You've been asking so many questions. Give him a chance.
He'll translate his...
you're going to translate it. Oh, okay.
Господь Чайтанья на него разозлился и сказал, что меня в миллионы жизней не увидишь. И тогда Мукунда был в экстазе, что все-таки через миллионы жизней я увижу Господа Чайтанья, встречу Господа Влада, иди сюда. И я спросил, как развить вот это умонастроение. И Махараджи говорит, что нужно медитировать на другие велосипеды.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, this gentleman here. We can't put the Lord to rest here. There's an arti going on. When the arti is finished, and we'll end the class. It's practical. Okay. Class is supposed to end in 3 minutes anyway, so we can just take this question nicely. Okay. What is the question?
So, Garuda was not a vegetarian. He ate snakes.
Yeah. So he is authorized. But you're not. You cannot eat snakes.
No, but he was asking that can we count that maybe some also not very good person, I mean, with not very good habit can help in our spiritual life also.
What can help?
In our spiritual life.
What will help our spiritual life?
Maybe some person with not very good habits can help in our spiritual life.
People who don't have good habits can help our spiritual life? Our Grunita's not. Grunita's habits are very good.
Гуруда очень хорошие, на самом деле, привычки.
in that body, he is authorized to eat snakes. Not that he's a bad habit. He doesn't have bad habits. You shouldn't think that Garuda has bad habits. That is your bad thinking. Garuda is a pure devotee. You're creating apparat against Garuda. He's a pure devotee.
Asking if somebody with strange behavior can also help like Garuda.
But Garuda doesn't have strange behavior. It's a bad simile. But actually a devotee uses everyone for his advantage. A devotee uses every situation for his advantage in Krishna consciousness. That is his expertise. But you should not think there's something bad or wrong with Garuda. There's something bad or wrong with us, not with Garuda. He's a pure Vaishnava. He's a great personality. You should never think that something wrong with Garuda. So we'll stop here. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.